From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
Our text for this morning is found in Micah chapter 5 and verse 4. He shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord. Christ's reign in His church is that of a shepherd king. He has supremacy, but it is the superiority of a wise and tender shepherd over His needy and loving flock. He commands and receives obedience, but it is the willing obedience of the well-cared-for sheep rendered joyfully to their beloved shepherd, whose voice they know so well. He rules by the force of love and the energy of goodness. His reign is practical in its character. It is said, He shall stand and feed. The great head of the church is actively engaged in providing for His people. He does not sit down upon the throne in empty state or hold a scepter without wielding it in government. No, He stands and feeds. The expression feed in the original is like an analogous one in the Greek, which means to shepherdize, to do everything expected of a shepherd, to guide, to watch, to preserve, to restore, to tend, as well as to feed. His reign is continual in its duration. It is said, He shall stand and feed, not He shall feed now and then and leave His position. Not He shall one day grant a revival and the next day leave His church to barrenness. His eyes never slumber and His hands never rest. His heart never ceases to beat with love, and His shoulders are never weary of carrying His people's burdens. His reign is effectually powerful in its action. He shall feed in the strength of Jehovah. Wherever Christ is, there is God. And whatever Christ does is the act of the Most High. Oh, it is a joyful truth to consider that He who stands today representing the interests of His people is very God of very God, to whom every knee shall bow. Happy are we who belong to such a shepherd, whose humanity communes with us and whose divinity protects us. Let us worship and bow down before Him as the people of His pasture.
What a privilege to come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee. High his hands he holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him, as I humbly seek his face and bow the knee.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. If you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then please take our thanks for taking the time to do so. You may contact us by email or telephone or by regular mail. You may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. As he continues this series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message on chapter 12, entitled, Serving with a Savor of Christ. The theme of chapter 12 is the Christian's response to the gospel. Paul began by exhorting believers to present their bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is their reasonable service. Dr. Cairns has been urging Christians to serve the Lord, remembering what Christ has done for them. They should seek to show that love to others by the way they live. We are called upon to apply the Bible's teachings to every area of life, whether in the church, in the family, or among unbelievers. Paul reminds God's people that the gifts they have are bestowed by God's grace, and no one should look down on another who does not have the same gifts. The apostle spent the majority of the epistle to the Romans explaining the gospel. Now he shows that the gospel should govern every aspect of the believer's life. Here is the key to harmony within the church and the way to show the world what true Christianity is all about. Now, Dr. Cairns concludes this message, serving with a savor of Christ.
And I find that when you can pray for a man, you can't be bitter. But while you're bitter, not only can you not pray for him, you can't pray, period. And that's a serious thing for any Christian. Now, verse 21 gives you the overall rule. Be not overcome of evil. Don't let evil overcome you. Rather, overcome evil with good. And the verses in between, 14 through 20, they tell you in detail how it all works out. And this is where I would need to take to midnight to deal with it. So I will summarize it, and you listen. And I'll be criticized. Somebody will say, why are you in a hurry? Why do you not just take time and do it again another week? Well, I want you to get it in context. This is how you operate as a Christian in the world. Verse 14 and the first part of verse 20. Deal with your enemies as Christ dealt with his. Deal with your enemies as Christ dealt with his. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Peter tells us, 1 Peter 2:21, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He says, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. If your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. I remember years ago, we had a neighbor whose husband died. He had been very good friends with our family, though he was a Roman Catholic. I hope that through my mother's testimony he came to Christ in the months of his last illness. Certainly there was a great change. A lovely person in every way. After his death, things didn't go well in the family. His wife had problems and troubles, and my mother helped. And after she had been a tremendous help, that lady just turned away from her, wouldn't speak to her. Things were not very happy. She was married again, but to a very different kind of man than the first husband. It came a Christmas morning. She had a bunch of little children still in the house. He was gone, and they had nothing. And she sent for my mum. Come and help. My mother was given some what was purporting to be good advice at that time. Some people were giving her this good advice. They were saying, don't be a fool. Don't be had again. You've been down this road, you've helped this person, and all you've got is it back in your teeth. Don't go down that road again. My mother knew better than that. And I remember talking to her and saying, you know, we're the Christians. She's not. Not only do we go down that road and help her, but we will do everything we can. And my mother said, that's what I want to do, and that's what I'm going to do. I remember going out that Christmas morning, scouring every place to find a shop that would be open to buy whatever could be bought for that family in need, to provide something for the children for their Christmas, to brighten that darkened day. And God blessed it. But here's the truth. Yes, we had been down that road before. Yes, my mom had felt insulted and hurt. But the result of that day's work was not only did she make a friend, she made one of the best friends she ever had. And in the years that followed, when health was failing and family was scattered, and my mother needed a friend and she needed help, she had the greatest neighbor a person could ever wish to have. And better still, the day we buried her, that woman who had moved to another part of town made her way up to my sister's home. And she told us of how she had come to Christ. And they're both in heaven today. Both in heaven. Some of that woman's family, born Roman Catholic, now saved. You see, you deal with people you may think your enemies, as Christ did with you. Don't cut yourselves off from the needs of the people around you, verse 15 makes clear. And this is something that in fundamentalism today, at least in some parts of it, there is a withdrawing isolationist attitude. We want to wall ourselves off from the world. We don't want to have anything to do with that big, bad, wicked world out there. Well, if we don't have anything to do with it, how on earth are they ever going to hear the gospel? I'm not saying you go in among the world to be like them, but listen, go in among them to work there and witness there. Go into the place of your employment and be a Christian. Be a Christian. Don't cut yourselves off from the lives and the needs of the people around about you. You must remember, according to verse 16, that the best testimony Christians can show the world is their harmony and their humility. When churches get into the newspapers because they're having a eruption or a row or a free-for-all and the police have to come to break them up, you can see what a good testimony that is in the community, can't you? Instead of paying to go down to Atlanta or up to New York to see professional boxing, just go to your local Bible-believing church and you'll get the show free, or at least for a small offering. Harmony and humility. Verse 16 literally says, minding the same thing toward one another. Listen, we're going to think differently about various things. We're going to speak differently. We're going to be different in a thousand different ways. But what holds Christians together? They are minding the one thing. That's the gospel. Not minding the high things, but going along with the humble. Literally being carried away with the humble. Isn't that a new concept? People get carried away with wealth. They get carried away with the powerful. James warns about this. A rich man walks in and Christians are carried away with him. But a humble man walks in and who cares about him? Paul is saying, listen, get carried away with the humble. Don't become wise in your own conceits or in your own opinions. Remember, our harmony and our humility is our best testimony to the world. Verse 17, you must not allow the evil that you encounter in the world to breed the same evil in you. But rather you must live so as to command yourselves to the consciences of all men and command the respect of those people because of your testimony. We heard from Brother Mark this morning. I was greatly moved to hear that illustration. Witnessing to a drunk who was cursing him high up and low down. But when he was able to talk about a man that he worked with years before, immediately like that, born again Stevie. What a beautiful testimony. If you're a friend of his, I'm willing to talk to you. I'm willing to take your literature. Get him to call me. What a testimony. We must be ambassadors of peace, verse 18. Verse 19, we must not allow anger and bitterness to corrupt our lives, make us revengeful, people who always need to be vindicated, vindicating ourselves or getting our own back. Verse 19 tells you, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. If you believe that God's wrath is real and his judgment is just, you give place to God's wrath. You leave it to him to judge. In verse 20, you must seek to win your enemies by showing them the love of Christ. Seek to win your enemies by showing them the love of Christ. Now he says it'll heap coals of fire in their head. Some people think that's simply adding to their damnation, and it may. But you know, fire may not only burn, fire may melt. And you can sometimes win even enemies by your good works. Jesus said, Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You can melt men's hearts with the coals and the fire of Christian love. When you love the unlovely, when you love the wicked and the sinful who would normally and naturally turn you off, you can win them. I have often mentioned to you the testimony of the greatest Baptist preacher in Ireland, Willie Mullen. He was saved through listening to a Belfast preacher who was preaching in Newton Ards, a town 10 miles away. Though the preacher didn't know it, he went home and got saved. But do you know what really melted his heart? And it meant so much to the person who did it that she couldn't even remember it. Willie Mullen was a tramp. He was just, what, maybe at that time 20 years old or not much more. He was a tramp. He was a wino. He was a criminal. He stank from the smell of stale liquor. And he had only a nodding acquaintance with soap and water. And having received an invitation to the gospel service, he went into the church and he sat down. And a little way up the pew, there was a beautiful young lady, obviously from a good family, and dressed to kill. I don't mean flamboyantly, just everything was right. The preacher announced the Bible reading. And that young woman just slid right up the seat and sat right beside him and held out her Bible. Said, would you like to read along with me? Not much, you say? There's one thing God used to turn a tramp into one of the most magnificent preachers of the gospel that Ireland or any other country produced in the 20th century. Yes, the fire of love may melt. Of course it may burn. Because if people reject your love, then the more you do for them, the more you leave them without excuse. On the judgment day, it will add to their guilt and heap coals of fire, not to bless them, but to burn them. But that's between them and their God. Men and women, what I'm saying to you tonight is simply this. Do you believe the gospel? Has this one wonderful truth taken hold of your heart and your mind and your life? Does it govern all your thinking, all your acting, all your reacting? If it does, then this is the normal Christian life. Yield yourselves unto God in sacrifice, in separation from the world, in service among the saints in the body of Christ, and as a savor of Christ in an unclean and ungodly world. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, let this be your and my response to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.